Welcome back to the Dime Comic Bros Podcast. Ooh, dubba.
Welcome back to the Dime.
Keep the first one.
No.
Welcome back.
Why are you wearing New Balance glasses? I didn't know they made glasses. I thought they only made dad shoes.
They make dad glasses.
Whoa.
Welcome back to the Dime Comic Bros Podcast.
Damn.
I'm your host.
No, you're
Matthew
not.
McConaughey.
I am one of your co-hosts, Spencer, joined by Colin, who I guess is cosplaying as Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
And Jacob.
That means that you, like, never ever shower.
That is true.
It just says I shower.
That is also true.
You got me there.
We just returned from Free Comic Book Day 2022, so we're a little sleepy and a little tired, so apologies.
And then, not only did we do that, we watched a movie that Colin napped through, and I wish I had.
Elektra from 2005.
Yeah, that's the one. How'd you know?
Because I was there.
Oh, you didn't nap either?
No, I was awake. I've
never watched this movie all the way through.
Yeah, nope, don't do it again.
That's a fair point.
It is from a screenplay from Zach Penn, Stuart Zeichman, Raven Mensner, and Mark Steven Johnson. It's a lot.
Wow, bro can't even pronounce names.
Dog. Shut up. It is directed by Rob Bauman, who I've never heard of before and will probably never hear of again.
My finger smells funny.
Oh my gosh.
Funny guy!
No, I'm dead serious. It smells weird.
Stop smelling it. That's
Stop
weird.
Stop smelling it. You weirdo.
Stop. So, this movie has, like, the most bare-bones plot and story imaginable. Elektra is resurrected because Jennifer Garner wanted a movie. And she's an assassin. And she has a soft spot for a target.
Family.
Family. And then she must defend them against the other assassins who are the Hand for some reason.
Not the Feet. That's a different show.
Yes, that would be if we were talking about TMNT.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I would have rather watched the worst Turtles movie.
Which one would that be?
Good question. I think it's Secret of the Ooze.
Ooh.
I think that one's honestly Turtles 3, Turtles in Time is a slight upgrade, even though it's really dumb. And Secret of the Ooze is such a letdown from the first one that I think it's genuinely better than like the Michael Bay movies.
I was gonna say, or I was gonna ask if you've watched the Michael Bay movies.
I don't hate them.
Whoa.
They're not good.
There's two of them, right?
Yeah.
The second one's a bit better.
Oh, really? I should have actually watched the second one.
Dude,
I never watched
they
it.
Actually use Bebop and Rocksteady in that one.
I saw.
It's actually more goofy in a good way. Anyways, we're not talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We have to talk about Jennifer Garner's 15 push-up bras in this movie, because it's like the only visually interesting thing going on.
She has no boobs.
Aside from that point, this movie looks like crap. Flat out.
Except for your one positive point.
There's one positive I had out of this entire movie. Outside of its general simplicity, I do prefer a simple narrative. About most of the first half of the movie is seemingly shot on like on location with real lighting, and it's a lot of backlighting. And I thought that that was kind of cool. It's more interesting. It washes them in a lot of shadows. Sometimes it covers their faces very dramatically, and it almost looks like comic book inking. But the rest of the movie looks like crap, and one minor visual choice doesn't make up for the fact that there's clearly no budget, the CG is horrible, they're quick cutting everywhere, and the buildings aren't even, like, real.
A lot of the action was unintelligible.
Fast to slow-mo, to fast to slow-mo, to quick cutting, to a bedsheet, to... Ooh.
No, not that kind of bedsheet.
No. It's like...
It was flying bedsheets like ghosts, but it wasn't.
It feels like it was like choreographed by someone who has watched one martial arts movie and has zero experience. So it's like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. but there are edits everywhere, and there's the camera is way too close to their faces, so you can't see anything.
There's a lot of whooshing sound effects, too.
And a lot of clinking of...
The sound design was rough.
Very loud. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. The sounds were very loud in the mix, and so was the freaking music. The musical score is nigh obnoxiously generic. It's like, is it sad? Let's pull out the sad violin! Like, it's obnoxious.
There's action.
Yeah, just... Literally,
then you got your generic bad guys. You got bad guy who is son of bad guy. And you've got bad guy's girl. You got bad guy's strong bad guy.
Big,
strong bad guy.
Big and strong.
And you got big and strong and big. And then you got bad guys.
Who's weird?
Weird one. And you got bad guys, guy with a thing and weird.
And one of those bad guys, because I lost count in Colin's list, had two wolves in him.
He did have two wolves in him, but a lot more snakes. So many snakes.
Holy Jesus. What is that? What the fuck is that?
One bird, two wolves, and way too many snakes. All in him.
This movie does take place at Christmas. Can we make a song out of it?
What? Oh, it does.
Oh my god.
This is a Christmas movie. This is about family. Because
it's about the...
It's a Christmas movie.
That's why Elektra is wearing red the whole time, even though...
She's Santa.
She literally is Santa Claus.
She's Santa.
We have made this movie sound way more interesting than
it is. We could have come up with a way more interesting narrative than this. On the one hand, I will give the opening voiceover sequence some credits, because it's like, hey, someone here read a comic book, and that's about it.
That's the only time that you will give, that you will hear Spencer giving a movie points for ADR.
No, I will give Lord of the Rings points for ADR.
That's different.
That's because it's the only time it's a positive.
What does ADR mean?
Voiceover. I don't remember what's the actual
acronym? What about Hellboy 2?
No.
No, that one was really good. I had puppets.
Well, yes, the movie's great, but the voiceover is dumb.
No.
Voiceover is almost always unnecessary.
Not that one. Hellboy 2.
But.
Audio, you know, dialogue, reading.
Audio, yeah, dialogue, reading in your mouth.
Something
in
like
your
that.
Ass.
Oh my gosh.
Ass dialogue
ass
reading.
Ass to mouth dialogue
oh
reading.
Oh my gosh, Colin. Stick is in this movie.
Dude, Stick does ass to mouth.
Shut up, Colin. Please.
This is just... It's...
2 hours of sleep. And four Red Bulls.
And a free comic book day.
In a pear tree?
No. What were you saying about Sticks? Ass to mouth with Electra?
No, stop.
Dude, ass to mouth with...
Shut up. Colin. Stop. I have to cut around this.
I said it. He's yelling at you.
Because he's continuing. Stick is Stick. He is I am old blind man who is asshole. And I have white hair. And that's it. Like, none of the characters in this movie have characterization. Even Elektra is, like...
I can barely tell that he's blind. Like, they don't make it, like...
It's not obvious.
No.
He also says, this is not the way, and this is the way, like, 15 times. And there's no specifics on that. It predates multiple memes and The Mandalorian. Is it some actual religious thing? I don't know. I'm too lazy to look it up. But it sounds dumb.
Sounds made up, bro.
It sounds like they said, let's say some mystical, like, weird Eastern religion stuff, and then didn't make it make any sense.
Can we talk about mystical, weird Eastern religion stuff, though?
The fact that the hand turn into fart clouds when they die?
Ooh, that's a good point, actually.
Dude.
But that's not where I was going.
Very mystical.
When I was talking about the afterlife in Egypt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can just move on.
Let's move on.
Electra was bad.
Not good. And we even watched the director's cut.
Spencer
not good.
The director's cut on Blu-ray for how much?
Like $3.
Oh, that's not bad.
I forgot I even spent money on it.
Not even the worst $3 you've ever spent?
Oh, hell no. That'd be the $3 I gave to Colin for services rendered.
So speaking about weird Eastern mystical stuff, let's talk about the Egyptian afterlife.
The Moon Knight finale, episode 6.
The reeds.
The Field of Reeds was very pretty.
The reeds.
Okay, so
Colin is in the Field of Reeds right now.
I'm in the field. Okay, so Mark is like, nah, fam, I want my boy. So
I need my boy, Steven.
So he runs off, has his hero speech. Steven's like, oi, mate, that was a lot of words you said. Very nice.
Oh, please don't do that accent again.
I know, it was very bad.
Having a laugh.
I appreciated how much they didn't linger on the beginning bits before they got to the battle stuff. Like, it was like 5 minutes. It didn't feel like that was, like, getting rushed through. They're just like, well, you don't need to see him literally walk through the whole desert. Like, just get to it.
We need Egyptian mommy.
I noticed on rewatching episode 5, it opens up with Harrow as the doctor.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he says something about this hippo lady's going to help you solve your inner struggle or something, and then that's what happens after.
Damn.
After Moon Knight's shot with drugs, he goes on this adventure and loses one of his personalities. So there's a good, very very well, tightly written narrative.
Yes.
Where you really can't tell if he's just a crazy person or if that's Harrow messing with him.
So something
at least
that,
in that episode.
Not to just skip, right. So not to just skip to the finale bit, like at the end of the finale, but I appreciate the fact that there's a mental hospital, literally, in his brain, and there's also a real place.
Yeah.
I like the fact that clearly you can interpret it differently, but the very obvious what we're presented as, like interpretation is that there are different places, but it's actually a real place. I like that. Scarlet Scarab, big win, yay. Mummy.
Mummy!
I will not elaborate. Dude, that suit is fucking awesome.
When I was very excited to see her costume. She comes out, she goes, whoosh. Ooh, what is this? Goes into her armpits. Shink! She's got knives. For wings.
Stabby.
Very stabby.
It felt
very hot.
Quite Wonder Woman 84-esque, but I think this did it a lot better.
I'm not totally sure what you're saying.
The winged suit.
I guess. I appreciated the fact, one, it's a like a retooled version of a comic character, and also so we have, Layla is a retooled version of Marlene, kinda. And then we have a retooled version of the Scarlet Scarab, who was not a femoid originally. And they're like, they just stirred the pot and made some weird stuff, and I like it. It's really cool. And also, I think she's gonna stay like that. So we have more heroes now.
You're just a retool.
I am a tool.
No. You're retool. It's a retarded tool.
Oh my gosh.
You're my little
Oh my gosh, okay. The actual battle in and of itself, I appreciated the fact that there was the actual on-the-ground fighting, which I thought was pretty good. It was nice to see Steven and Mark fighting as, like, one unit. Mm-hmm. That was cool.
I love that we actually got to see Mr. Knight being Mr. Knight.
It was a nice couple of one-takes, too. And there's also a kaiju battle going on in the background that's not actually impacting the real world because they're invisible.
I like that a lot.
You know, they're reflecting each other. I like that. It's cool. We got the big bird man fighting the big crocodile lady.
Mommy.
Oh. Colin, are you okay?
Have you seen the voice actress?
He likes the long mouth.
I got that part, but, like, evil, you know?
Yeah, dude. Mommy's mommy.
I really liked how Harrow, frankly, didn't bitch out.
Yeah.
They committed they committed to writing the character as committed. It wasn't a ploy. He wasn't trying to finesse the situation. He was like, he unironically believed what he said he believed. and he's a dummy, but he's like an honest dummy, and I like that. Mm. It didn't feel cheap.
I'm kind of bummed, going straight for the ending, that we got 25 seconds flat of Jake Lockley.
So
I'm so glad it wasn't more, actually.
Well, I agree with Colin.
Because, I mean, we were looking forward to him all season.
Because if they tried adding more, it wouldn't have been tasteful. Or, like, it wouldn't feel, what's the word?
Earned? Natural.
It would have, so I think.
It would have felt like they're trying to squish it in because people want it in. They're just more like, hey, here's your guy for next season.
I'm with Colin. But Jacob, so the point, so the story emotionally is about Steven and Mark synthesizing and not trying to get rid of each other, but becoming,
accept each other.
You know, accept, right. So then the fact that they're obviously. The fact that they're both wrong and, you know, there's more going on in their head isn't relevant to them right now. If you're just like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's an entire other person you have to deal with and it's only in the last episode and then they have to synthesize again.
Yeah.
That would have been... this series already feels like they put a lot into six episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that leaving it as a potential for later, obviously, it's an MCU property. It made money. They're going to do more of something. But the fact that they're like, you can kind of leave it here, or you can do more with it is nice. We got a taste of what this interpretation of Jake Lockley is like, which I guess the internet's losing their brains over in the bad way. I don't care.
Just because he speaks Spanish?
No. Surprisingly, no one's being weird and racist about it. I'm very impressed. The fact that everyone's like, oh my gosh, they just turned Jake into a psychopath, when clearly Jake sometimes has emotions like... Okay, they also retooled Steven heavily, so
yeah.
Like it's a very different...
We're going to base functions about these characters. Technically, Jake Lockley, for a while, is just a fucking psychopath.
He kind of is.
He is the worst of... He is everything that's bad about Steven in one nice ball of rage and murder.
This is true. He has a
soft side. Of course, everyone has... Okay, so every psychopath... has, like, emotions to them. Real
right.
ones, too. But, base function, psychopath.
Yeah, if we're going with, like, the... It's just... I don't know. I liked it. I like... The look is nice. You know, boy got that... They got that fit. I really like the fact that they just had him speak Spanish. Not because character is... The character is not Hispanic. He's Jewish. But... The fact that they're just letting Oscar Isaac, like, actually speak Spanish because he is Hispanic,
yes.
That's really cool.
I love that.
It's nice. He looks really intense and stuff. You know, he's
also,
like...
Also, that was just intense. It's just intense when someone speaks at you in a different language.
Also
it's
true. You're like,
what? And then you just get shot?
I like the fact that it wraps around to Khonshu still being in control. As much as this season
Khonshu
made him
drippy.
Kind of look like a dumbass,
uh-huh.
which he can be.
Well, yeah.
I like that the end note is still, I am still more in control than you think I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm letting you have this small victory because I still have an ace in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. And it also lends credence to the what I was talking about last week, where there's only the smallest of hints that Khonshu had anything to do with Randall's death. I think it lends more credence to that he may have. And I hope that they don't follow up on that. I think they should probably leave that alone. But
yeah.
I think now with the full wrap around it, it leads a little bit more credence to that. And also, yeah, boy got drippy. He finally got the...
The suit and tie.
Dude.
Yeah, in the Spectre-mobile.
Ugh.
It said Spectre on the plates. Oh my gosh.
I can't believe we're freaking out about license plates, but honestly,
dude
looks great.
Going into an era of Moon Knight that I've been wanting.
I am only upset that it's a mid-credit scene because it's the real ending, and
mm-hmm.
that is a gripe with a studio style, and I'm sure nobody in production actually got to make that call, but it is still annoying. But the ending was also very nice with the whole... The goldfish. I like the goldfish because they're not actually two goldfish. There's only one goldfish. The other one's definitely dead. There aren't literally two goldfish in the tank. It's about their brain and their heart. There's two of them, but they're in one tank. You get it? You see it? They're in harmony. I know, right?
No, crazy. It's two separate. You're wrong.
You're stupid.
You're wrong, Spencer.
You're literally stupid.
Spencer, you're so wrong. You're
being a contrarian.
I'm a contrarian.
Also, Mark ate shit on that floor.
Oh, yeah.
I like that we don't know where the hell Layla went off to. That's nice. Sad. She'll just go do her own superhero shenanigans.
No, Layla!
I'm pleased. I am sad that the finale was short. I definitely feel like they might have trimmed out some stuff or whatever. And the show in general probably could have been like 8 episodes instead of 6. But
oh, yeah.
I'm not disappointed by the finale, which is like the first time I've said that about a Marvel show.
I was going to say, how does this stack up against the other Disney Plus shows?
So I said something about this publicly, and I will stand by my statement.
Ooh.
WandaVision is the most cohesive, collectively, minus the parts of the finale that really did fall to shit, but it was really just that last episode. Hawkeye could potentially have been like the most good, but we don't really know because there was so much that was chopped out of it. It probably had like the most amount of like potential or whatever. And this one has the biggest balls. Some of the lows are kind of low. When like the CG looks like shit, it looks like shit. And the couple of really MCU-ish jokes that don't land do not land. But the rest of it is like, we switched up the style. It looks good for once. The jokes are funny. It's a little intense. All the good stuff.
You are autistic.
You missed Loki.
Oh, I'm just saying
those are the best three.
Those are the top half. You were the biggest defender for Loki.
Oh, I'll defend Loki by all means, but it's a continuous show, so it's harder to talk about.
Mm.
Yeah.
Loki literally ends on a massive cliffhanger, so it feels like cheating. Any further thoughts on this?
Layla's mommy.
Tactical nuke incoming!
Yes. I also like the fact that we got, like, big purple lasers, but it wasn't a sky beam. They were soul juices. I thought that
was cool. Yeah, that was cool.
Because she is the eater of souls.
She just keeps eating them and she grows bigger.
I like the fact that they didn't have to say the specific, because they never said in the show she is the eater of souls, but if you Google it, that's what her purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
Anubis is the one who normally does the actual soul judging. Madam Hippo Lady is filling in for some reason. I don't know where the hell Anubis is up to, but whatever.
Well, Anubis is on vacation.
Probably. He's on vacation, or he's already been murdered by Gore the God Butcher, maybe.
I was wondering about the purple magic and how that related to other Marvel magic.
It's definitely dark magic. If you just go through the list, it fits in with dark magic pretty easily. Not dark dimension magic, but just dark magic. Like, with...
He's right.
Agrather... It's just dark magic.
Okay.
You got them souls, and she's just like... Moving on from Moon Knight.
I read the Marvel Max series. Just Cage.
Oh, my.
There's no Luke Cage. It's just Cage.
Just so Cage. Edgy. Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Yes!
Issues 1-5.
Dude, I would read a comic book about Nicolas Cage.
I forgot to find out how much I spent on it.
Crap.
Oh, no. Written by Brian Azzarello and penciled and inked by an artist that we have a long history with, Richard Corbin.
We shall not speak ill of the dead.
I had fairly high hopes for this series because it makes sense to me to have Luke Cage be able to swear as he's beating the shit out of people. But this was... pretty flat. It was like a flat soda. Like, he's just running around getting paid, and he gets caught up in a double, triple backstab motion amongst three parties, and he really doesn't have any morals. He's just there to get paid.
He is a hero for hire, to be fair.
Yeah, but there's no hero here.
I suppose.
He just calls everybody...
the N-word?
No.
Oh.
Friend.
Bad, mean names, and doesn't look great while he's doing it.
Are there any... Is this in continuity with Jessica Jones alias?
Nope.
Wow.
I was even hoping for that. Nope.
Are there any cameos or crossovers.
Nope.
Do you have any positives about this book?
I think I only spent like $12 on it.
That could be worse.
I was really, really let down, and I only had like mediocre hopes. Rip. And that makes it worse.
True.
So I got a question.
Oh boy.
You know how that there's a point in Jessica Jones' mech series where she's guarding
Daredevil.
Daredevil.
Yeah.
With Luke Cage.
Yep.
And you see the exact same scene, but from Black Widow's perspective in Daredevil run.
Okay.
So that ties the Max series in with the main Daredevil run.
Alias, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which came first? I assume it was Alias.
I think it was Daredevil first.
Because they show her and Luke, and it's the whole same dialogue.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was raving about like a month ago, because it's so tightly knit. It's very, very well done.
It was scary to read that. I was like, what?
It's written,
so confused.
Both written by Brian Michael Bendis. So.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes much more sense now. Okay. I didn't pay that close attention. I'm just like, oh, this is a good Daredevil run.
It's good stuff.
I finished the first one. I'm not going to talk about it, though.
Colin, have you done anything? Have you read something? Have you watched something that you want to talk about?
I read. I don't think I can talk about that. I've watched. Oh, I've already talked about that. Good question.
Yeah, I knew it. I knew it was a skit.
It always is a ploy with this one.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm way too tired to, like, stop that. Whoa! Lay off with dinner.
He's so tired, he's reverted to Alien.
Whoa! Whoa!
Okay. Alright.
What language are you speaking?
He picked up a couple of curse words in another language, and that's all he can say. Okay. If you could pick one Marvel character from anywhere in comics that has yet to appear in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, one character or group of characters that you would like to get a show or a movie treatment, or at least see pop up somewhere, who are they and what would you like them to do? So not out of the roster of 700 characters we already have.
Shit.
Some obscure ass shit, man. And don't you dare say the Fantastic Four or something basic like that.
I fucking hate the Fantastic Four. Shut up.
You've never read a good Fantastic Four run. You cannot.
Me either.
Jonathan Hickman, boom, there you go. Read the whole thing. It's
good. A Marvel character that.
Some Marvel character or group of characters that you want to see in the MCU and what you would like them to do, you know, basically.
Oh, shit. I feel like they already took all my favorite obscure characters and brought them in.
Gotta go. We gotta go deeper.
I don't know if I know any.
We gotta go deeper.
Beta Ray fucking Bill, dude!
There we go.
Beta Ray fucking Bill!
Do you think he might be in Love and Thunder?
I would hope not.
You hope not?
Do you want
It'd be too
him,
much. It'd be too
do,
much.
Do you
It'd be too much for him to shine. You know?
We did
maybe,
have...
Okay, maybe if we had a clip of him, like when their original, like, encounter from the comics where they're, like, fighting each other and shit.
We did have the reference, sort of, with his face being on the...
What if he showed up with Throg?
Dude, that'd be sick. We had him in... We had a cam... His face appeared on, like, on the Champions Tower in Ragnarok.
Yeah.
So... There, it's a thing that could happen.
I want Beta Ray Bill in a TV show, 6 episodes of him being depressed after Thor beats the shit out of him in a fight in Love and Thunder. Just one scene that he's in Love and Thunder, his hammer breaks.
Ooh.
And he's ugly as shit.
Okay, so you want an adaptation of Daniel Warren?
Yes! Yes, I do! I want my boys run in a show.
That's fair. I would buy that.
Easy. It would be so easy. That'd be so easy. Just literally copy-paste, bitch.
Watch them fuck it up.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh. I'd have to do it for them.
Or they could just...
Get Daniel on it!
They could just literally use his book as storyboards and pay him for it.
Yes!
But that would require them to pay an artist for their work. They don't do that.
Alright, moving on. Spencer, what'd you do?
I read Batman Fear State Saga, which is the Fear State book. It's basically the 5th volume of James Tynion IV's run, except it has all of the extra special stuff in it, hence why it's the saga book, you know? So it's Batman issues 112 through 117. It also includes the Alpha and Omega issues and 3 one-shots based on characters from the run.
You said this is a saga crossover?
No. I have yet to read Saga, but I really should at some point. I've heard very good things.
You'll probably like it. I didn't.
That's typical.
Yep.
So it's written by James Tynion IV with pencils primarily by Jorge Jimenez, and then the one-shots are done by a few other artists. Jimenez is, like, my favorite Batman artist, period. I've said this 1,000 times. So the art here is glorious across the board. It collects Batman issues 112 through 117, Batman's Secret Files The Gardener, Batman's Secret Files Peacekeeper, and Batman's Secret Files Miracle Molly, who is a new character that's been introduced in this run, as well as Batman Fear State Alpha and Fear State Omega, which are the end caps to the event. Okay, so the Peacekeeper 01 issue is freaking awesome. It's like a it's a mostly flashbacks type deal. It's basically about how this guy and his family have always been like corrupt cops, but they're always like, see, some of us gotta get our hands dirty so we can, they're just a bunch of corrupt cops going, no, we have to be the dirty ones so normal people don't have to be. It's so dumb. It's like, legitimately there are people like this. It's just, it's really, it's kind of painful to read. And he gets rejected to be a cop because Gordon's like, dude, I worked with your dad. He was a piece of shit and you're the same. So the dude is pissed. He goes and becomes a guard at Arkham. He gets fired from being a guard at Arkham because he just beats the crap out of criminals. I really, really, really like Scarecrow in this event. He's awesome. Like my internal voice, my interpretation of how he speaks is really cool. The weird new design still really works here. And Miracle Molly, it has very little to do with Miracle Man, but she is part of what is known as the Unsanity Collective. They are basically communists. They like willingly remove the trauma from their brain so they can become like fuller versions of themselves, and they try to bring people into the collective so they can like actually work together and not be like a bunch of traumatized fucks. It's really cool. Miracle Molly has a really cool backstory in this story, and then she has a really cool role working with Batman and choosing to basically not like fear gas nuke the city, because Scarecrow has been working on this thing called the Fear State, hence the event name, since he was like a kid or whatever. He's thought of basically the city of Gotham needs to be set up through various traumatic events like Bane taking over in City of Bane, the Joker War, blah, blah, blah. So it's prepped to be, like, pushed over the edge so it can actually, like, rejuvenate itself. And he thinks it's the time and whatever. It has a really cool story, and it ties in well with the Magistrate, who are basically the, like, police contractors who are taking over the city. It's a really nice send-off for Tynion on the whole. It puts a good end cap on his work, which has been a lot of scrambling around to work with some of the crazier things that King did at the end of his run, as well as prepping it for the next team of writers. And it also retcons the Future State event from being canon. Like, it's officially not canon. It's not a future that happened. But a very large amount of the elements that are in that event are getting carried over into the current time, just in slightly different forms. And this book is where that's all officiated. Like, it directly goes, nope, we're going down this path, and whatever, which is fine. lame that they're not committing, but it's expected. I thought this was really nice. It's a good event book that ties into the Bat family without relying on 50 tie-in issues. It includes the family and it understands their role, but it also actually focuses on Batman very much, as well as a handful of villains. It ties into a whole bunch of stuff that's been getting laid for a long time, like Poison Ivy having her roots in the base of Gotham City and like a whole bunch of stuff. Really good. Good end to the run. So I bought it for $50. It's a big book. I would recommend it on sale if you like the run, you like Scarecrow, or you like Jimenez's art.
How much of a sale?
Like a mild, like $30. Like the other books, typically the other hardcover versions of these books sell for $30, and then the saga versions, which include the all the tie-in issues, are around $50. So yeah, like $30. If it's in trade at some point, get it in the trade because the trade will be half the price. Or be like me and wait until they put the whole run in like one omnibus, because they're definitely going to. Very nice. Jacob.
Hello.
You were about to lick the microphone.
I was.
What the fuck else have you been doing?
So I need a question.
Wow.
I was really, really close to finishing a Ms. Marvel book, but I've got like 4 or 5 issues left of it, and I don't want to talk about it until I finished it.
4 or 5 issues left. You know most trades are like 6 issues, right?
This is actually 18 or 19 issues, so suck my balls.
Is it a Ms. Marvel Max book?
No, it's not. Wow. It's a normal book.
You just picked up a Ms. Marvel book?
So suck my balls.
Weird.
No, I don't want a Max Ms. Marvel book. That was Jack Balls.
Same question as Colin goes to you, my good sir.
Well, cock and ball. I was thinking one of the Avenger or X-Men runs that have a lot of unique characters. Not just a mix of characters we've already seen, but I want like the freaking Dark Avengers or whatever that is, or uncanny X-Men, you know, a special adjective of the regular group, and have it be weird characters that we don't normally see.
So the West Coast Avengers.
Yeah.
So, but, or you could just have the Avengers, but they have Hercules on the team, because that character has always made so much sense.
No.
He's so boring. I hate him.
Kind of a flat answer because I don't have a really good example.
That's fair. It is a fair example. The Avengers have been through so many iterations, it's insane.
Yeah.
The fact that they haven't, in the MCU, gone with, like, we have the East and the West Coast Avengers is honestly kind of crazy to me. I know that because the team currently is, like, kind of shattered and fucked up and whatever, and they need this new event that's going to come up, which I'm pretty sure is going to be Secret Wars. Secret Wars is great. What are you talking about? You evil demon man.
The MCU is going to make it so freaking boring.
I mean, yeah.
It's going to be the Netflix adaptation of Secret Wars.
They're getting more artistic.
Getting more autistic. You hear that, Colin? They're more like me you. Too.
If the Avengers weren't currently so kind of disjointed and disbanded because they're like, ooh, we want them, we're good, and half of us are dead, I would definitely see them, because there's so many characters that qualify, splitting into either at least... The Guardians get rebranded as the Space Avengers, and they go off with Captain Marvel and stuff, and then we have the Earth ones. I would be cool with that. I've made dreams about this, but...
I've also actually had a conversation this week about how the movies really didn't do Rogue well at all.
Oh, gosh,
like,
no.
Like, not at all. Like, completely different character. So I would kind of like to see a good version of that.
I do appreciate the idea of making her like an emo southern girl. I like that a lot. But the rest of the characterization was entirely off. It's just that one element. I'm like, that's how I read her voice in my head now. I like that. But.
Speaking of butt. My ass. Fat.
Yeah, we know that. Colin, what?
Ooh, you've got all the questions today.
I usually am.
Choop, to be whoop, fair. Goop. Now my heart's going backwards. Choop, goop, whoop.
What character in the DCEU now that's currently in the DCEU, not the Reevesverse, do you want to get an HBO Max spinoff like Peacemaker? And who do you want to do it?
Fuck. Fuck, why you do this to me?
Sorry, I make creative questions and I'll just ask you your favorite Robin every week.
Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman all day.
I said not in the Reevesverse.
Damn it.
No.
So in the shitty universe that we have right now, I want...
Jesus Christ, Joker.
Ooh, I want them to make a show about Polka Dot Man and figure out how he didn't die, but he was thrown into, like, a dimensional riff when he got splatted. They can come up with something stupid. I love it when they come up with something stupid. And Polka Dot Man's back alive, and we get to meet all his brothers and sisters that survived and became, like, superheroes slash supervillains or whatever.
They're all better than him.
Yes, and they're all better than him. And we get What's-His-Face, the guy that, like, makes sound effects, like, words, and he uses those as weapons. Like, he makes gun noises, and he has guns. What's his name? Hold on, let me look him up. He's really cool.
Is that the guy
from Doomsday Cook?
No. Isn't that one of the characters that's inside Crazy Jane?
No.
Because I know there's a character that in her head that's kind of like that.
It's Onomatopoeia. I literally looked up Green Arrow supervillain that has word powers.
Nice.
This guy. That could be like one of his brothers.
The fuck?
He's a Green Arrow serial villain.
Killer.
Mm-hmm.
That means he eats a lot of cereal.
Can you say that word out for me, the name? Because I can't do it.
Maybe. Let me see. If it wasn't filled with ads, that's the one thing I do not like about fandom wikis.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I think you said it correctly. Onomatopoeia?
Onomatopoeia, yeah.
Onomatopoeia. I think that's correct.
Onomatopoeia.
No, it's your pee toe. Your peeing toe. One of your toes is designated for pee. The other one is for cum.
Yeah, I would have him as like...
You have two toes inside of you.
The main villain.
No, you have two
fingers. Yeah, Onomatopoeia, supervillain, appearing in comic books published by DC Comics, usually as an enemy of Green Arrow and Batman, created by writer Kevin Smith and artist Phil Hester. The character
of course it was made by Kevin Smith.
In Green Arrow number 12. Yeah, I want to see him. He just goes, bang, and he shoots him.
That's quite cool.
Because he just goes, swish, swish. Or like, what's the word? He goes, boom. Or snap.
Spencer, wrap us up. What else did you do?
So I will wrap you up.
Wrap me up, Daddy.
I will wrap you up in the Lazarus Tournament, which is the first volume of the current Robin solo run.
Whoa.
Came out last year in 2021. This is the first 6 issues. It is written by Joshua Williamson with pencils by Gleb Melnikov.
Why are all these comic artists named so weird? Are they just all hippie children?
Probably.
Just the product of the 60s.
That's why their art is so good, is because all their parents did way too much LSD. And some of it is done by Jorge Corona. So basically, Robin, Damien, did an oopsie whoopsie, and after Alfred got murdered in front of him, he snapped and killed someone. Nice. So he basically ran away from home and is doing his own thing and trying to, like, find himself and stuff and, like, regain balance and whatnot. Damien's becoming even less of a dick. This is really good stuff, actually. Colin, there's one detail I'm gonna get to that you're gonna like. I hope you don't already know it. So basically, he meets with his mummy, Talia, and is like, yo, you're a dumb bitch. And she's like, yeah, well, you're a stupid piece of shit, and whatever. And then they part ways. He enters himself into a tournament called the Lazarus Tournament. So you know how there's the League of Shadows, and there's also the League of Assassins, and there's also other things that are in, like, the same group that I don't remember the names of?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff. There's also, like, the League of Lazarus or something like that. So there's this tournament where you can die, but you don't die. You're on, a magic island where it's basically like the, I guess the whole island is like a Lazarus pit, basically. So you can die, but they bring you back. So you have three lives. It's a fucking video game. You get, so they bring you there.
That's cool.
It's really cool. They bring you there. You get one, you can only, you can only fight during the daytimes and in certain areas. The, like, dormitories are off limits. And if it's nighttime, you can't fight. But everyone gets, like, one test life on the first day. And the first person to die starts the tournament. Then they, you know, everyone fights. Sometimes people just kill each other outside of matches like they're not supposed to, but they get away with anyways. And then they do a lot of mashups. So there's, like, a bunch of weird, mostly child characters in this book. Damien gets his fucking heart ripped out, like, twice. It's nuts. It's really good setup for a really interesting setting. There are a lot of really fun character interactions. Rose Wilson is there, as well as Hawk, son of Green Arrow, who is being raised by the League of Shadows. I don't remember which one it is. So he is, like, a dick, of course, because he's Green Arrow's son. Mm-hmm. And him and Damien have, like, a kind of partnership. There's also a new character called Respawn, who looks like if Deathstroke was a child. It's weird. He's so far unexplained, and Rose is trying to figure out what his business is, because Rose Wilson is, you know, Slade's daughter, and she hates him, but she's around him, and you know how it goes. There's some really, really, really cool issue towards the end of this, where the Bat family, like, they're trying to find Damien because of shenanigans. And the whole Bat family, excluding Batman and Batwoman, are all chasing Damien. So Nightwing, Red Hood, Robin, Batgirl, and Batgirl. So Cass, Steph, and...
I love that there's more than one Batgirl.
I love that.
I love stuff like that. There's more than one Aquaman or, like, Superman. I love that.
Yes. So Steph, Cass, and Babs are all chasing Damien. So Damien has little interactions with each one of them. You know, he takes advantage of, like, he's like, yeah, out of all of them, like, he's talking to Red Hood, and he's like, yeah, you're the most emotional. And then he hugs him, and then he, like, tases him. Because Red Hood's like,
oh my gosh,
is this child hugging me? Like, it's so funny.
Yep.
You know, he's like, Tim's out of earshot, so I'm comfortable actually calling him the smartest, because I don't want it to go to his head. And, like, whatever. And Nightwing has this really, really wonderful interaction with him, where he's, you know, he's talking to him. They're trying to chase him down to, like, bring him back home, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I get, you know, you're Bruce's son, whatever. And, you know, you're like Jason because you're really angry. And you're incredibly smart because you're like Tim. And you're brave like Steph and, like, all this stuff. And he's like, but you were my Robin. And it's like they reach down my throat and just grab my heart. It hurts so much.
I remember reading that panel.
Then Nightwing gives him a box with a baton in it. And it's not a baton. It's a baton made out of a trapeze bar. And it's something that Alfred gave to Dick from Haley's Circus when he became Robin. Obviously, this is a retcon. And I don't remember what it's inscribed with. I genuinely don't remember. But Dick gives it to Damien because he wants to pass on something from Alfred to his grandson, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh! And then he lets him go, and he pretends like Damien outran him. He's like, you go do your thing, kid, you know. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Sorry, one issue. Damien also leaves the tournament temporarily to go vibe with Ra's al Ghul for a couple of minutes. He gets a big boo-boo, and Ra's is like, I'm gonna Mr. Miyagi this shit. It's really funny. And then it ends on a cliffhanger, and it's annoying. It's an ongoing run, so it was kind of expected. There's a lot of twists that are about to happen. I really, really, really enjoyed this. Damien has a bunch of outfits. And the one coolest thing that he does now is, so in addition, so you know Damien's a vegetarian, right?
I didn't know that.
So it's something that's established in, I believe, Grant Morrison's run, but he loves animals. So he adopts Bat Cow.
Yeah, I know that part. I didn't know he was a vegetarian.
Whatever that weird dragon thing is he has in the Titans. Yep. And now Damien reads fucking manga. he's an absolute weeb. And that's awesome. So fucking great. They use like fake panels of manga in this book to mirror what's going on in the real world. So like Rose Wilson will like steal his manga and is like making fun of him for it, but it's like the thing that's going on in the book, but in the real, it's so cool. He's getting really fleshed out as a person.
I like that.
I really like his current outfit. It's dope as hell. I'm really liking this run. Like, absolute really good stuff. I bought it for $20 a jetpack. I think it's worth it for basically anyone who has any interest in like Bat Family stuff. It's just really good.
Well, speaking of Jetpack, they gave us threw us a huge bone by giving us a table at Free Comic Book Day today. They are our ongoing partners, and we appreciate everything that they do for us. I've run out of words. All of our listeners should go to downtown Rochester, New Hampshire, to a little store called Jetpack Comics and Games, and support them by giving them money and buying cool stuff.
It's not so little anymore. The place has gotten pretty big over the past, like, decade. It used to be really small.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of packed with stuff, too.
It is crazy. It's a mega store.
I see something new in there every time I go in.
That's like, absolutely. Yeah, go check out their stuff. Go buy the things there. That's the shop that I have my pull list at. Follow them on social media and stuff and do your due diligence. And go check out our Patreon and support us at patreon.com/dimecomicbros. And then you can be like Jeff Lorenz and we can say your name. You can make your username any crazy thing. You can say
butt penis.
Sure, you can say butt penis. And we have to call you butt penis just every episode.
Just no derogatory slurs or anything really like that. We will not name you.
Yeah, no. I don't think Patreon lets that happen anyways. No.
Also, it was really nice seeing Business Casual in their cosplay uniform today. That was wicked cool.
It was
also well done.
I just got a photo from Business Casual themselves.
Wow.
And it's a trophy.
Oh, my.
Third place.
Nice.
In the cosplay contest.
Very nice.
Very
well
nice.
Deserved.
Very nice.
In addition to having us shout out your name, Mr. Butt Penis Sir, every episode, you can also have sketches done by Colin.
Yes, sir.
You can get a whole bunch of stickers and crazy stuff like that whenever we get new ones because we're out. We literally ran out for Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah, that was awesome, actually.
We are coming up on the end of Season 2 of Dime Comic Bros, so we will be getting new ones for Season 3. Plenty of updates coming. So you get all sorts of free merch every time we update it. If we end up doing, like, merch at any point, you would be part of the limited party that would get access to it, you know, when we actually get real listeners and we have money.
Mm-hmm.
You can also get a massive backlog of the other podcasts we do, Dime Comic Bros Happy Hour, which is just, like, a little segment we do where we hang out, we decompress after recording, open up a beer, whatever. As well as all sorts of exclusive clips and sound bites and funky stuff that we pull out of the podcast. And also my review of Spider-Man No Way Home is on there, which is the only place you will find it. And I will not discuss it on this main show. I will not sully this show with those words.
You watched it?
Yes.
Oh.
It's on Patreon. I'll send you the link.
Guys tell me that you say these things to me and I do not remember you guys tell me anything.
Yeah. Also, check out our Twitter and Instagram for updates, teasers, and all sorts of fun stuff. Send us an email for whatever reason if you have questions, concerns, comments, weird stuff you want us to talk about, suggestions for topics, whatever, to dimecomicbros@gmail.com. Visit our website at dimecomicbros.com. And go check out our other podcast, Dime Gaming Bros, also available on all audio streaming platforms and YouTube. That's where Jacob and I talk about video games, video game news, and video game movie adaptations. We just put up an episode last week, or the week before. Well, sometime recently, we put up an episode. Go check it out. And next week, we will be going over a whole bunch of news. And we do not have an ongoing Disney Plus show for 3 weeks before Obi-Wan starts up. So we will have to actually talk to each other about things we did.
Crap. Drink.
I think we can goo. Goo goober. Colin's drinking so much water.
I think he has a drinking problem.
I think he just opened up all of his sphincters and it's just going right down.
Give you the old Amber Heard. My shit in your bed and smear it all over the place.